time for the E21 Go Sports Podcast. Now, here's your host, Easton Durant.
Hello and welcome to E21 Go Sports. I'm Easton Durant. And in today's episode, I'll be talking about MLB returning rumors, NHL leads the way, and what the NBA will be like when it comes back. So, first of all, MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred said he's 100% sure there will be a baseball season in 2020. He said, quote, "We're hopeful that it will produce a replicable movement from the Players Association that will see a number other than 100% on salary and some recognition that 89 games given where we're in the calendar and, of course, of the pandemic is not realistic." Players have remained firm in their belief that they are owed their full salaries based on the agreement made by both sides in March. While owners says the reality of hosting games with no fans means significant losses to more financial concessions from players, neither side has expressed a willingness to shift from their positions. If the sides can't reach an argument, Manfred has the autonomy to implement a shorter season. It would reportedly consist of 48 games as long as players receive full prorated salaries. If it ends up being the case, sources have said that the MLPA would likely not agree on an expanded postseason and might even file a grievance. This could be bad for the MLB. And Manfred also said, "I would prefer to negotiate a new agreement with the MLBPA that gets us more games and resolves the issue that has separated us amicably. But at the end of the day, we negotiated for the right in March to start the season on a number of games that we select in these particular circumstances, and we'll have the right to exercise that right." Well, the MLB Players Association has made a proposal to the MLB for a season of 89 games with the full prorated share of salary and expanded playoffs. I think that this is probably the best option because 60 games or whatever it was 60 games that they were proposing is not enough for them to play because it's just two games against every team, a home and away game probably. And I feel like it's not fair to both the players and the teams on a 60-game season because it's just too short. And the playoffs should be expanded because of how less games there are. They're doing the same thing that the NBA is doing, and they're doing that right by trying to get it more teams in. So that's what I think about that, and I think that it will happen. But an MLB source familiar with the negotiations says that the proposal is a non-starter. The source said, "Out of concern for the players' health, extending the regular season on season past September 27th won't happen. There's a window of playing between 60 and 70 regular season games, but pay still remains an issue." MLB on Monday proposed a 76-game season that would cover up to 75% of players' prorated salaries. The newest MLBPA proposal would have the season start on July 10th and end on October 11th. It would also expand the postseason to 16 games, 8 in each leagues, for 2020 and 2021. Like MLB's proposal Monday, this offer has the players sharing in a pool of at least $50 million if the playoffs are played without fans. And moving over to the NHL, the NHL has done a great job of trying to get everything up and running and being the original to expand their playoffs to 24 teams. And I think that the MLB should just do what the NHL is doing, because the NBA is. If I think the owners are complaining that 60 games they won't make enough money with no fans. Think about how much money they'll make on TV. They'll make way more money on TV because so many people are bored of not having sports to watch, and others will just watch anything that comes on because they can gain so much more fans just by people just, "Oh, this is on." That's what soccer has gained way more fans over this quarantine just because of the Bundesliga being on and fans watching that, regular people just watching it who have haven't really watched soccer just because it is on. So I think that the NBA and NHL are doing it right, and the MLB is just doing whatever. The NHL and NBA, I feel like, are trying to please the fans and please the players. The MLB is just trying to please the owners. Because I think that the owners are just concerned about the money. You're going to make less money no matter what than how you normally make it. So why don't you just play more games that are on TV? And if you are playing all these games on TV, like the 89-game season that they offered up, you'll make way more money off TV. Instead of 60 games, if there's 89 games per team, that's way more money than a 60-game season on TV will make. Because that's 89 games every single team. All of them are going to probably be on ESPN. All of them are probably going to be on CBS, on anything that covers baseball. They're all going to be on there. Just because people are going to watch it, and people are going to be fans of baseball. Your MLB is complaining that the fans in baseball are a little bit older and they're not getting younger. So this is your season to try and get younger fans in on it, because students this year had both school and summer they have to stay at home. So if they can give a distraction, then that's what it is. During World War II, baseball continued to play. During World War I, baseball continued to play. Baseball and sports is an escape from what is happening in the world. So right now with the coronavirus, that is an escape for them and for fans, and that will keep them occupied with their time, and more fans will tune in to anything that's on TV. That's why the Michael Jordan documentary got so much views. People who didn't even watch basketball or didn't even watch Michael Jordan watched this documentary because it's sports. ESPN's getting on all their 30 for 30s and all of their things that are re-airing right now. They're getting so much views on it because it's on. So that's why they're coming out with so many documentaries this year, because they're moving up the documentaries, because right now they will make the most money and they will get the most views on it, just because people will watch anything right now. The Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire thing's coming up. So many people are going to watch that. Doesn't matter if they're MLB fans, they will watch it. If they know what baseball is, they will watch it, because it's something to watch. So that's what I think, is that they should just go on with the season. They should play the 89 games. Because also this could be a huge step for America, because people are saying, these teams can play. These people can go back to work. This will help so many people go back to work, because it's both the baseball players, the people who work in the front offices, the people who work on the PR and everything, the people that work for ESPN and MLB Network will be able to go back to work to broadcast these games. And people, it will just be an uplifting thing for them right now. So that's why I think that they should air it, or they should play it. So moving on from that to other news. A faction of NBA players are hesitant to restart season in Orlando bubble, as a faction of NBA players hold conference calls to discuss uncertainty about resulting the season in Orlando, Florida. The NBA and National Basketball Players Association are agreeing on a plan that would allow players to stay at home without consequences. There are 40 to 50 players on conference calls over the past 24 hours discussing a number of concerns centered on the restart in Orlando. But there has been no formal petitioning on the NBAPA from any group wanting out of the 22-team resumption. As players have started to come to terms with the restrictive and isolated nature of the Orlando bubble, including no visitors until after the first round of the playoffs, nearly 7 weeks after the opening of the mid-July training camp, there's been increased dialogue about the prudence of restarting the season for a number of players, especially those on non-championship contenders. executives and coaches around the NBA have had significant concerns about how players will adapt to an environment unlike any they've ever experienced and how these hurdles could impact the sustained competitive drive for players. Many have worried, too, especially on teams that aren't title contenders, whether some players will start to seek avenues to bypass the resumption altogether. Players are citing a number of concerns, including family situations, the inability to leave Disney World's resort campus, the coronavirus pandemic, and the implications surrounding the emergence of participants in Orlando, including players, will not be allowed to leave the bubble environment with a 10-day quarantine upon their return to the Disney grounds. Players with medical issues that might put them on in high-risk categories could seek an independent examination to learn whether they would be excused from participation. But I feel like, I mean, it's really not that bad. You get to play. I mean, I don't think it's that bad because you get to play basketball still, and it's 1,600 maximum people on campus. Players and family must stay inside the bubbles. Families can enter after the first round. So, I mean, they can enter after the first round, so it's not that long. But the teams that are just saying that they don't want to play because they're not in the championship contender, it's the same exact thing as the regular NBA playoffs or as the regular buildup to the NBA playoffs. You're not just going to tank just because of you don't want to be in this thing. And that's like what the Warriors are saying, is that they don't want to put Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and Steph Curry back into this thing. If they're not even contenders, they would go into the loser's bracket, which is what they're trying to figure out, and they don't want to go into that because it's just an extra safety concern for the players. I feel like that it's... I mean, for the loser's bracket, I feel like they should be able to pick and choose who's able to play and who's able to come. But for the regular playoffs, I feel like they should be able, every player should come. Unless you just don't want to play and you don't feel like risking your family for that, that I understand. But players who just don't want to play because they say that they're not contenders. Almost every team's a contender in this. There's 13 Western Conference teams and 9 Eastern Conference teams. The 13th seed gets to play in the playoffs. Of course you're going to want to play in that if you're the 13th seed. Because you're not able to make the playoffs anyways. So here is your chance to make the playoffs and able to play against these playoff teams. And some players are saying that they don't want to play in it. I mean, I just don't understand. And one thing that'll be huge about this thing is the MVP and the Rookie of the Year, because both the two of the Rookie of the Year candidates, oh sorry, three of the Rookie of the Year candidates are in this. It's Ja Morant, Zion Williamson, and Tyler Herro. They're all going to be playing in this, and I feel like this will be a huge test for them to be able to be the Rookie of the Year, because they're going up against playoff teams, and the farther that they go, the higher that their Rookie of the Year stock goes up. So I think that, and same for the MVP, because like the NBA said, this is a very difficult situation. This is nothing like anything these players have ever trained for, have ever experienced. So this playoff that they're making will be a huge, huge determining factor in whether or not they're the MVP or Rookie of the Year or not. Same for almost every award that there is right now. If these players are able to go through this adversity of going through something that they have never been able to go through or never had to go through, and they are able to win these awards, I think that it means way bigger things than it does regularly. That's like people saying that they shouldn't play this season because there will be asterisks on the NBA championship. I don't see that at all. They're playing a regular season. They're playing some regular season games that they have, and then they're going into the playoffs. And like I said about the Rookie of the Year and the MVP, this is way different than they have been able, than they have trained for. So if they are able to win this, then they are able to show that they are the champions, because they have been able to go through the coronavirus, they're able to go through everything and still become the champions. They're able to go into this neutral location with no fans, no family for the first couple of weeks, and they are able to win it all. So that's why I disagree with people who are saying that this season's going to have an asterisk on it. It's not. It's going to, if anything, it'll prove who's the best team in the NBA. This is absolutely even more important than the past couple of seasons' playoffs, because no team has ever had to go through this. No one. You may say teams have gone through injuries, but no team has gone through a global pandemic and able to still win an NBA championship and MVP and Rookie of the Year. So that's what I think to the people who are saying that it doesn't, that it just end the season. This season means the most out of any of the couple seasons, because it shows which team is able to go through the adversity, which team is able to push through and able to get to raise that trophy. So, yeah. Moving over to the injured players, what will happen to them over this thing is that the teams are expected to have the option to sign players to fill the roster spots, especially for the Brooklyn Nets, and they're expected to have the option to sign players to fill the roster spots of the season-ending injuries to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. But there will be restrictions. The biggest restriction include limiting the number of players who can travel to Disney World. The league would like to stop its prohibition on its two-way players this past season, like Chris Chioza could be signed to a standard deal, and because there would be two roster opening spots, those created by KD and Kyrie's absence, the Nets wouldn't have to cut anyone on the 15-man roster. Also, teams would also be limited in who they could sign to two ways, NBA or G League players, and those who had participated in training camps. No international players and no players who hadn't been on the team roster during the season could fill the roster spots. Eligible replacement players would most likely have to be signed to in the NBA or G League or be on the training camp contracts this season, sources say. Under these restrictions, for example, no team could sign veteran Jamal Crawford, who went unsigned all season, or an international player. I think that should be... that should be what's happening. They should be able to fill up these players for the playoffs, because it basically helps them by... it's basically unfair if they can't have two players travel to this place and they can't play. So that's what... I think that's perfectly fair about that. And then moving over... Hawks' Trae Young is frustrated but understanding of the 22-team restart. Trae Young had hoped the Atlanta Hawks would be included in the restart of the NBA season. Instead, 22 teams were invited to resume playing at a bubble site and location, and the Hawks were not one of them. Young said on a video call Wednesday afternoon, "I was mad. I was frustrated. Obviously, I wanted to play. I understand what NBA did and respect their decision, but I'm kind of upset because I wanted to play." He continued to say, "I was itching to play. I've been wanting to play. That was actually one of the first times I touched a ball in a long time. I wanted to make sure it was safe for me to go and play. It has been a long time for me. Like, I don't know when the last time I've spent 3 months without playing a game." On Tuesday, Hawks GM Travis Schlink said that he was one of the people who had spoken to the league front office about organizing some form of off-season competition for the 8 teams not included in the resumption of the 2019-20 season. Young said that he has been in contact with some of his teammates like Cam Reddish, Clint Capela, Kevin Huerter, and John Collins about meeting up to work out in Atlanta or Las Vegas when the team's coronavirus safety protocol commits. I mean, they were kind of on the looking at it here, they were kind of on the bubble-ish. I mean, I don't know. They were the 14th team, so in the East. So I mean, that kind of... I mean, it wasn't like they were close. the number 9 seed is the cutoff. So, I mean, if anything, teams like Charlotte, Chicago, and New York are before them. So they should; those are the teams that should be even more disappointed. So, I don't know. I just think that I kind of understand what he's saying. Like, oh, that sucks for the teams that aren't able to play. But it's kind of like, you weren't close to the cutoff. Like, if you were the 10th seed, I could understand that because you're like, oh, they get 13 teams, we don't get 13 teams. And even then, if they said that we got 13 teams, they got 13 teams, so we should get 13 teams. They're the 14th team. So, I don't know. But also, players are saying that they don't want to play in it. Like, hopping back to what I was saying about the players not wanting to play. Damian Lillard is one of those players who does not want to play. And, I mean, I could kind of understand it. Like, he said that they just don't know anything about the coronavirus right now. Like, they don't know that much about it. Like, the NBA doesn't know what'll happen. And he doesn't want to be kind of like a test experiment, kind of like what will happen if we isolated all these players and did all this stuff to try and limit their interactions and everything. So he just didn't want to do that. But when he's saying that he'll be on the bench, but he won't be playing, what's the difference? You're still on the bench with 15 other players. 30 players is what the normal court is, who's normally on the court. So, I mean, well, not on the court, but like on the benches and everything. So, I mean, it's not that different between playing and sitting on the bench. So, that's what I think. Well, thank you for listening to E21 Go Sports. I'm Eason Durant. You can subscribe to us on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts at E21 Go Sports and write a review. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter at E21 Go Sports. Thank you.
You've been listening to the E21 Go Sports Podcast, a production of Cogger Podcast Network.